The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live Bible answer program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. If you have a question on the Bible or the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. That's 1-888-ASK-CSN. Now let's get things started. Here's today's host.
Aloha, everyone. This is Pastor Gerald Skinner of Calvary Chapel Pearl Harbor. Mike Kessler's not with us today. He's doing well, but he's just not with us on the program, and hope he's having a great time. So we're here today with you. I have a radio program on air with CSN called The Chosen Generation. It's very early in the morning on the East Coast and even earlier at Central and West Coast time. But it's great to be with you. Looking forward to the program, and we have a very special guest with us today, and he's been on many, many times before. We have Pastor David McGee of the Bridge Ministries, Cross the Bridge Ministries in Kernersville, North Carolina. And David, it is great to have you on. It's great to be with you and looking forward to the program today. How you doing?
Absolutely doing well. And, you know, this is such an awesome time to have a program like this. And, you know, years ago when we traveled as a family, I was traveling doing music and teaching, we would listen to this very program with Pastor Mike Kessler and at that time Pastor Chuck Smith. And so it's so cool to get to be on and help people, because there's a lot of people that are fearful and confused and believe in something they saw on the internet. And I just saw the other day, you know, that you can trust everything that's on the internet. Abraham Lincoln said that. It was online the other day. But seriously, you can't trust the media. You got to be so careful. And we're going to have fun today pointing to Jesus and reminding people that he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he is the main thing.
Now, hey, if you want to get on the air, give us a call at 1-888-ASK-CSN, A-S-K-C-S-N. We'd love to have you give us a call. And let's talk about things from the Word of God, about growing in the faith, about drawing closer to Jesus, about God answering your prayers, about Bible prophecy, about anything you so desire, about life's challenges. So give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. That's 1-888-ASK-CSN. And, you know, how are things going over there, David, in your part of the neck of the woods there, North Carolina? How are things going with all this our craziness with COVID and so forth? How are things happening?
Well, we've been a lot more blessed than others. We were shut down for a little while, but then allowed to reopen. I thought we had a good plan, saying, you know, some can wear masks if they want to, and if you don't want to, don't wear one. And thought everybody would be happy that they got to do whatever they want in there. And I was surprised. But, you know, this is what we read about in the Word of God as we come into the days we're in. And, you know, I was kind of personally hoping for more allegory or hyperbole or something. But
you're right.
This is literal falling away and people, their love growing cold. And it's painful to watch people that you've known walk away.
Yeah. And it's also tough as we look to the church today, overall, with the COVID mess that we're in, so many are getting so used to not coming to church, just sitting at home and just watching via the internet. And of course, we want everyone protected, you know, if they have low immune systems, sir, or they're elderly or something like that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, let's not get too used to sitting at home. God wants us to be together as a body of believers. It says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves
there
together.
There you go.
We got to get together and go for God.
As the day approaches, that
absolutely.
That's a big D on that day. That's just not, that's the day of Jesus Christ, which is approaching, and it says fellowship all the more. And,
absolutely.
And Hebrews 10, just like you said.
And like you said, that day, what does it mean? It's speaking of the rapture of the church.
Yeah.
We're going to be taken up as a bride of Christ, and God will take us home before, folks, the great tribulation period.
Amen.
And, We've got a lot of things going on in our world right now. We got the Afghanistan situation going on. We've got Israel's got a lot of this Delta virus going crazy in their country. And we've got a lot of it happening over in our country and across the world. But you know what? We're overcomers in Christ, aren't we, David, all the time? We know the word of God. We know what it says. It gives us so many precious promises. And we need to just continue to walk in the ways of the Lord. And here's one real key element that I see, David, and I want your opinion on this. Aren't these days of salvation really sharing the gospel with what we have from the Holy Scriptures and what's going to happen in the last days?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What's so sad, got a statistic, I believe it was from Barna. I mentioned it yesterday, that 97% of all Christians will never lead one person to the Lord. 97%. And the first thing God said was be fruitful and multiply.
Absolutely.
You know, and he wasn't talking about an orchard, was he? But, you know, he's talking about multiplying. And yet then we have 2/3 of the American Christians, so-called, believe there's many ways to heaven and call Jesus a liar. I mean, so the church is growing cold. They're confused. Truth is not in every church. Got another one from Barna that they came back. 31% of churches had a biblical worldview. And this is like 10 years ago. So they thought, well, we'll do the individual pastors and probably have a higher number. They did the individual pastors, and it came back 10 years ago. Churches in the United States,
right.
28%. Had a biblical worldview.
Well, you know, as the Lord has spoken to us, the Church of Laodicea is alive and well on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. It's that lukewarm church that Jesus says you're neither hot nor cold. Mm-hmm. You're lukewarm, and you make me sick. I'm gonna vomit you out of my mouth. How do I not make the Lord sick? Well, it's by staying in His Word. Jesus said to us in John 17, "Father, sanctify them with your truth. Your word is truth." And it's important for us to be sanctified in the word of God. This is why we love to teach from Genesis to Revelation, right, David? Amen. Verse by verse, keep it all in context. Let the word of God do its work. You know, throughout the book of Acts, you'll find that 40 times it says they preached the word or they taught the word. Mm. And this is what the church needs to do. Stop these topical studies. Just grab a book of the Bible, teach it through. The word of God will not come back void. Let's go to the phones right now. Let's talk to Josh in Wyoming. Josh, welcome to the program. Are you there?
Hi, pastors. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Good to have you with us. What do you got for us today?
So I just had a question. You know, there's a lot of false doctrine coming across the pulpits, and there's not a lot of strong, biblical teachers that are sticking to the Word of God, the fundamentals, the truths of the Word of God. But my question is we're in a smaller city, you know. And so in a smaller church setting, do you think it's possible to pastor extended family, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, you know, mom, dad, that kind of thing, and be effective? Or do you think, you know, what Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country? Do you think it's kind of the familiarity of it and the they feel a little too much freedom to argue and push back on things? Do you think it's a good idea to try to pastor in that situation, or do you think it's best to leave it to somebody else?
David, you want to tackle that one?
Boy, that's a great question, Josh. And yes, both, really. I do believe that the Lord, He has you there. And yes, you will encounter some friction with loved ones. But, you know, especially if you will teach verse by verse, that's the great thing about approaching it verse by verse, teaching like a chapter or a whole book, is, you know what, you're not choosing what you're teaching on. You're teaching straight through the book. And so they can't say, oh, you just taught that one verse because you know about my situation. No, that's just where we happen to be reading that day. I can't tell you how many times that's happened in our fellowship, but just where we were was convicting somebody, and that just happened to be where we were that day. So, you know, I would say plow on. And, you know, the other side of it is, you know, if it's family, they're going to see that you're not perfect, that you too need salvation. You know, all pastors are sinners saved by grace. And some people have a hard time understanding that, and sometimes it's families, but it gives us an opportunity when we do mess up, or, you know, I don't know, get a little hot or whatever, you know, we can apologize and go, you know what, I'm a broken person, I still, you know, struggle with sin, I'm trying to be better, stronger, and it's a chance to witness, you know, and we don't get into heaven by our own goodness. We're leaning on the goodness of Jesus. And so we can say, see, I praise God I'm leaning on the goodness of Jesus because I just blew it with my family or whatever the situation is.
Yeah. And, you know, Josh, as we just have to rest in Jesus, number one, when we teach and we preach the word of God. It's his work. It's his church. It's his word. It's his salvation. It's his sanctification. It's his taking us to heaven. It's his that which amazes me, he'll reward us for all this since he did all the work. But anyway, he's such a wonderful savior, right? And so you just carry on with what God's calling you to do. And I know that, you know, I heard some statistic a while ago that like 1,500 pastors a month or something are quitting the ministry or something like that. Some crazy number. And I'm like, why? Don't quit. Don't let Satan discourage you. Don't throw in the towel, man. Of course, you're going to be, not everyone's going to like you. Not everyone's going to be applauding you. But yeah, I find that most of the congregation does. Most of the people will. There'll be a 10% that'll really cause trouble in the church. And then there's probably about another 15% are kind of, well, whatever. And then the rest, they love you to death, you know, and just keep marching on. But don't let the few tear down your ministry or tear down the work of God in your heart and your mind and the calling that God has given you. Every man that's called to the ministry, just, you know, continue on. Keep your focus on the Lord Jesus. Oh, I felt like quitting. I'm sure David has at times, and it all hits us because the enemy wants us to quit. But we're not quitters in the kingdom of God, and Jesus is going to fulfill the ministry in us and through us for his glory, for his honor, and for his praise. So hopefully that'll encourage you. And do you have another question for us, or you're good to go?
No, I think that answered it. I appreciate it, guys.
Let's stay strong, Josh. All right. Go for God. Hey, if you want to give us a call, at 1-888-ASK-CSM. We have a couple of lines open. We'll be ready to answer your calls. We have next is Alberto from Savannah, Georgia. Alberto, how are you doing today?
Well, good evening, pastors. Yeah, I got a question. See, I was watching this video, right, on YouTube. Pastor Joel Webben and Justin Peter discussing calling out false preachers by name, right? And everything he was saying was good and everything, you know, and accurate. The Pastor Webber was saying that, you know, the believers have knowledge, they have the anointing, the Holy Spirit, the Holy One, and they got the greater receivers in you than is in the world and all that, you know, and the Holy Spirit would bring to memory the scriptures, you know, and all that. I agree with what he was saying. And then he said that ultimately a true believer would not be deceived, but point to the scriptures, if you read in Matthew 24:5 and Mark 13:5, that's contrary what the scriptures say. It's possible to be deceived, a believer. So that's the part I agree with the pastor when he said that ultimately a believer cannot be deceived. But why is he mentioning the scriptures? It's possible to be deceived.
You're talking about the very elect could be deceived. Is that out of Matthew 24? Is what you're talking about?
Yeah, 24:5 and Mark 13:5.
It's important for us as believers to make sure that we are, as we're told in Timothy, study the word of God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And Paul the Apostle warns us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that there'll be those who will come in and they will preach another Jesus, they'll preach another gospel, they'll preach another spirit. And really, as you continue to read through that chapter, it says there's ministers that transform themselves into the ministers of light, but actually they're ministers of the lawless one, of Satan himself. And we as Christians, we have to be on guard. We just can't believe everything on TV, on radio. What saith the scriptures, like a Berean? We search them out to see if this is so or not. It's really important that believers, whatever home church they have, make sure that home church is fully sound in doctrine. I know David has, and I have on our church websites, a statement of faith. It tells you exactly what we believe, the basic tenets of the faith, and maybe some other items on there too. We've had to add on a few extra things because of the days we live in, about marriage between one man and one woman. The child is in the womb, you know, from conception. and so forth. It's part of God's family. And so it's important for us to realize that we have to maintain the solidity of the scriptures, keeping them together in sound doctrine, in context, and declaring it. And as believers, we need to be on guard. And now they said, I think the statement you said was true believers. I think that's the statement. A true believer is a person that's truly following Jesus, that's truly in the Word of God, that truly understands sound doctrine. They won't be deceived. But if they're, if you will, a wishy-washy Christian, okay? Jay Vernon McGee, I don't know if he's a relative of yours, David, but he said there's make believers and there's true believers, right?
There you go, yeah.
And that's what you got to watch out for. I'll let you go ahead and follow up on this. David, go right ahead.
Well, you know, Jesus in Matthew 24, it's filled with warnings about don't be deceived. And so, yeah, we can be deceived, but how do we, you know, how do we start down that road? We get out of the Word of God. That's deception from the very beginning. God said, don't eat fruit from that tree or you will die. And the enemy opens up, oh, you will surely not die. And then Eve adds to the Word of God. So, you know, twisting it, saying wrong, it's out of the Word of God. You stay in the Word of God. You, and especially daily, stay in the Word of God daily, and then you become much harder to deceive, even impossible to deceive. Because with the Spirit of God and the Word of God, the child of God can discern good from evil. And so, you know, you'll begin to, like a muscle, that discernment will grow stronger and stronger and stronger. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And, you know, there's a lot of weirdness out there in the body of Christ. And, you know, finding a place that's focusing on the Word of God and focusing on salvation and giving, you know, an invitation and people an opportunity to respond is very important, especially on the Sunday morning or the weekend service. So, you know, those are things to look for. They're there. Awesome. If they're not, you know, it doesn't matter. The teaching is electric, man. If nobody's getting a chance to respond, that's a shame.
Absolutely. And so hopefully, are we helping you out there, Alberto?
Yeah, I agree totally what you're saying. But what about if the Bible says submit unto your pastors and your pastor teaching false teachings? How are we going to disobey that?
Well, then I wouldn't submit to him. If he's teaching false teaching, he's a false teacher, and you shouldn't even be there, period. Go someplace else that teaches the Word of God. You can share with him where he's false. I think he needs to be aware of it, and he understands why you're leaving and so forth. And just make sure you have your ducks lined up in order, meaning that you present to him the sound biblical teachings from the Holy Scriptures so that he clearly sees it. And he can either repent of it and change and get things right, which would be ideal, or he says, I don't care what you think or what you say, I'm going to go this direction. Then I would leave. I mean, simple as that. There's don't even sit under a false teacher ever and move on and get life moving on. But hey, let's do this for you. How about we send you out a time to grow along with Evolution versus God and God of Wonders. Says, please, Alberto, stay on the line. We'd love to give you these beautiful gifts, and they'll take your number and address and get it out to you right away. So thank you so very much for the call. All right, let's go to how about Bob in New Mexico? Bob, how you doing out there?
I'm doing okay. I need you to pray for me, please. I love the Lord Jesus Christ more today than I did the day I met him. And the enemy is trying to thwart some ministries that I see over. I've been very sick for 13, 14 days. And I just feel just have so much to do for the Lord. I need to be healed so that I can continue to be about my Father's business.
Right. Bob, is there any specifics in regards to this illness that you have that you'd want to share with us, or we can keep it private, of course? Anything that's, you said about what, 13 to 14 days you've been ill, and and you feel like it's an attack on the calling of God and the ministries
that he has given you. And I know when we're sick, we're weary, we're tired, we're worn out. And many times the enemy really can take advantage of us, you know, and just continue to beat us down. Do you have people around you that can strengthen you, people from the church or family or someone like that?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Good, good. Okay. Is there a specific area that we need to pray for besides just healing and anything else?
Nothing.
Okay.
Christ Wait. Is everything to me.
Okay, we're going to pray for you to pull you out of this, and because it's really heavy on you, and it's a tremendous ailment that you're carrying with you. And so I'm going to ask David to pray for Bob and lift you up, and all the listeners out there be praying also.
Lord Jesus, thank you that we can come to you and pray. And Lord, we don't come on our own goodness, but Lord, you came and you were perfect. And because you came and died for us, Lord, we can come to you now and inquire. Lord, we thank you that greater is he that's in the born-again believer than he that's in the world. And Lord, we thank you that you have not given us a spirit of fear. And Lord, thank you that Bob is leaning on you. You tell us in Proverbs 3, don't lean on our own understanding or our own perception or our own perception of events or circumstances, but lean on you, Lord. And that's what Bob needs to do, and that's what he's reaching out for, Lord. And Lord, we don't, you know, sometimes we get sick, we get sad, we get bummed out. And Lord, sometimes even the enemy comes in there like a flood to make us more bummed and attack our emotions. And so, Lord, the enemies at play here, we, in Jesus' name, he has to let go of Bob, the believer, so that Bob can be healed physically and so he can get back to healing people spiritually. And Lord, thank you that he has a burden for others in these days. Lord, because you tell us in your word, unto the least of these, we need to be sharing with others in the jails and the hospitals and, Lord, in wherever people are sick, wherever they're hurting. And Lord, thank you that we can come to you. And thank you for your word. And Isaiah says, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary. There is no searching to his understanding. Listen out there if you're struggling, you feel weak today. Listen and be fed by the word of God. He gives power to the faint. But to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They Amen. Shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Bob, you know, as Paul the Apostle wrote, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He is your strength. He is my strength. He is David's strength. He's all of believers' strength. And just keep leaning on him, let him pick you up like that little lamb, place you upon his shoulders, and he will carry you through this time, and he's going to take care of you. He's going to love you. He's going to bless you. So just stay encouraged, stay strong, and realize that you're going to pull through this. Okay, Bob?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, my friend. God bless you. And they got a lot of people out there praying for you right now, and they're going to continue to pray for you.
Yes, sir.
All right, David, looks like we're going to go to I believe it's Teresa in Huntsville, Alabama. Teresa, how you doing?
Hello.
Hello.
I really enjoy y'all's testimonies.
You, thank you.
David, I'm discouraged. I'm born again. And I want to move from where I am I'm in a government. It's a apartment, and I need a downstairs, and I don't know where to look or what to do. Have you seen
Teresa, do you have some family or friends or anyone from a local church there that maybe you could lean on and they could help you out? And this is when the body of Christ comes together and begins to really minister to one another's hearts and needs, and can come together and give you a hand with this. It sounds like you're in a difficult situation. Do you have anybody that's around you that can help you out?
Yes, I do. I don't have family.
Okay. I would share with them what you're going through and how you need this help, and if they would be hopefully willing to come alongside you and be able to find you maybe another place to live that would be more comfortable for you and so forth. So, I mean, that's just being family, number one, and, of course, being Christian brothers and sisters all together as one. That's another broader family that we have, of course. All those things tie together, and we need to, you know, the Bible says carry one another's burdens to help each other out, you know, to have good works and so forth. So I would, we can say a quick prayer for you and ask God to get those people inspired to come alongside you and get things moving. David, you want to add to this?
Yeah, Teresa, you know, you're a believer, born again believer, you said, and, you know, kind of feeling a little down in the dumps about where you live, and certainly God, you know, wants you to be in a safe place and where you can feel the peace of God, but he also wants to use you perhaps where you are today to reach people. And yes. Romans 8:15 says you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whom we cry out, Abba Father.
Teresa, we're going to pray for you on the other side of the break as we we'll take a little break here on To Every Man an Answer.
Emmy was in a bad relationship when she found out she was pregnant. Her boyfriend told her to get an abortion, which she seriously considered.
I knew that if I got an abortion, a part of me would be broken.
Emmy went to a preborn center in need of guidance.
They honestly were able to put every fear at ease and let me know that it was going to be okay. I couldn't imagine my life without him. Because of them, he's here.
Preborn clinics introduce moms in crisis to their babies through ultrasound while providing hope, love, and the gospel in action. When an expectant mother sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she is 80% more likely to choose life for her baby. To learn how you can rescue a baby's life, just go to csnradio.com. That's csnradio.com. And click on the preborn banner or call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-2229. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
You're listening to the Christian Satellite Network. We broadcast on hundreds of stations nationwide, including multiple stations in North and South Dakota. You can listen while in Rapid City, Aberdeen, Hermosa, Dickinson, and Williston. Get a full station list or listen anywhere in the world live at csnradio.com. CSN International, where God's word is heard.
CSN International, bringing you exciting new music from around the world. So whether it's youth praise and worship or the latest congregational songs, you'll find it on CSN International.
Aloha, everyone. It's great to be back with you on To Every Man an Answer. I'm Pastor Gerald Skinner of Calvary Chapel Pearl Harbor and Children's Generation Radio Broadcast, filling in for Pastor Mike Kessler. And we have with us today David McGee from the Bridge, Cross the Bridge Ministries in Kernersville, North Carolina. And we were talking to Teresa at this time, and Teresa's going through a difficult time with her housing and so forth, and she really needs to find another place to move into and get out of where she's living. Teresa, are you still there with us?
Yes, thank you.
All right, my dear sister. Let's pray for you right now and ask God just to get the right people around you and get the right place for them to find for you, as the Lord would guide and lead, and you can get yourself in a place that's much more comfortable and safe and secure. How's that sound? Shall we pray?
Yeah.
Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up our dear sister Teresa, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And we just pray that she can just find a better place to live, and Lord, that you would just bring the right people across her path to help her out there in Huntsville, Alabama, and that, Lord Jesus, you just direct her steps to that place of housing that'll be comfortable, that'll be clean, that'll be inviting for all, Lord Jesus. And we just trust in you. You're the one that takes care of us always and forever. And so, Lord, we trust in this great work, and we ask for your blessings to be upon her, and just bring those people in her life that'll be inspired, Lord, to get this work done. So, Father, we love you. We love Teresa, and we love what you're doing in and through each and every one of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. We all said amen and amen. Teresa, we'll continue to pray for you that you can find that right place there in Huntsville, Alabama, and see what the Lord has for you. And hopefully there'll be family and friends, and the body of Christ will do a wonderful work for you, okay? Thank you so very much for calling. If you stay on the line, we'd love to send you A Time to Grow, a book by Pastor Mike Kessler, as well as Evolution Versus God video and God of Wonders. Those are great videos you can share with family and friends, and they'll be blessed and they'll grow in the Lord. God bless you, Teresa. Let's head on out to John in East Helena, Montana. John, great to have you with us. What do you have for us today?
Hi. Just to start out, Dave McGee is one of my favorites, and I missed him for a
Excellent.
While.
Well, there's rumors about somebody coming on right after Tima, maybe even as early as this week. So keep that in your prayers, John.
There you go.
I'm curious about the temple in Ezekiel 40. If that's the millennial temple, why is everybody concerned about building a temple on the Temple Mount now? Can you talk about that a little bit?
David, go ahead.
Yes, sir. And thank you for the encouragement with the ministry. I'm glad you've been well fed here on CSN and through Cross the Bridge. The reason folks are getting excited about the building of another temple, and keep in mind, for years, templeinstitute.org has been making the implements for years and training the people to go into this temple to begin worship and celebrating the Feast of the Lord and whatnot. And so, you know, the reason it becomes important eschatology to our eschatology or end times timeline is because Daniel prophesies, and it's in the New Testament as well, this abomination, this desecration that happens in the temple. Well, for a temple to be desecrated, you know, you have to have one. And so they're going to build another temple up there. It's interesting, if you ask in Israel what's going to happen to the mosque that's up there, they say a fireball from the sky is going to take that out, which that would probably make things interesting, to say the least. And so they'll put the temple up there, then it will be desecrated, and that will be during the 7-year tribulation. Some people caution that we are the temple of God, to be careful about desecrating our temple in these end times, which I think is an important side note as well.
And if I could just add to this for you, John, is that when we look at the book of Revelation chapter 11, it talks about that temple that David just talked about being rebuilt, and where it's to be rebuilt, and to give the outer court to the Gentiles. Right now in Jerusalem, you go there to the Temple Mount, you find that there is the Dome of the Rock Mosque that is there, and then the Jews want to build their temple there and so forth. And right now the world itself wants to make Jerusalem an international religious city. That's why they were so upset with President Donald Trump when he says that Jerusalem's the capital of Israel and moved our embassy over there. Because the world wants to have this international religious city, which it's lining itself up for the one world government led by the Antichrist. However, the world will see him as the Christ, as the Messiah or Maitreya, and they want all faiths to gather together in Jerusalem. And thus that would include the Jews and the rebuilding of the temple. It's also interesting in the book of Revelation that God refers to Jerusalem as a place that's called Sodom. And it's called the Sodom in Egypt. Egypt representing many gods, a place of many gods. And Sodom, of course, a place of immorality and spiritual adultery and so forth. So this is what's taking place, and it's going to reach its culmination, its fruition in the tribulation period. 3.5 years in, the Antichrist will go into that temple, desecrate, as David said, as spoken of by Daniel the prophet, as Jesus said in Matthew 24, that the abomination of desolation will take place. The Antichrist will set up an image of himself, declaring himself to be God. He'll blaspheme the God of heaven, which is our Lord, our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to blaspheme the Son of God. And the Bible says all the nations of the world will gather together to be against God and the Christ, our Lord and Savior, in the tribulation period, according to Psalm 2. So that day is coming. Now, the Ezekiel temple on the other side of the fence is this. The temple that's being rebuilt, that will be rebuilt during the tribulation period during the first 3.5 years, will ultimately be destroyed, and a new temple is going to be built, and it'll be the one you read in Ezekiel chapter 40 through 48. And that will be a reestablishment of the temple, and some of the sacrifices will take place as a memorial of what Jesus did for the Jewish people, for the Jewish people. So it's a memorial for what they missed, they should have been doing. It's a memorial saying, this is what those sacrifices actually represent, Jesus, who he is, his death on the cross, his sacrifice, and so forth. So that'll take place in the 1,000-year reign of Christ, spoken of 6 times in the book of Revelation chapter 20. So this is the scenario that David and I are giving you right now of the end times through the great tribulation period, and then the second coming of Christ starts the 1,000-year reign of Christ and rebuilding of what's called the Ezekiel temple. Does that help you out, my friend?
Does. The tribulation temple will apparently be raised, and then they'll in the millennium they'll build the one in Ezekiel's book.
Right, and it's going to be much larger with much more expanse, and also as the land area and so forth. Everything is the rulership of Christ. The city of the great king is what Jerusalem is known as, the city of the great king. And he will reign and rule from Jerusalem with a rod of iron and peace and love and justice. And it's going to be a beautiful 1,000-year reign of Christ. Mm-hmm. And we're going to come back as kings and priests from heaven with our Lord, Revelation 19. And we will reign and rule with him spiritually. We're going to be reigning and ruling. When I say spiritually, we're going to be teaching people about the ways of the Lord as we are kings and priests in our glorified bodies. We will never sin again. Hallelujah. We're saved. And we're good to go forever. End of 1,000 years comes the new heavens, the new earth, new Jerusalem, and we'll head off to that after that 1,000 years is done. And this heaven and this earth will be done away with. It'll melt in fervent heat, according to 2 Peter. And God says, that one's done. Let's go to a new one. All is well forever and ever. David, you want to add anything else?
Well, just that this is the temple that's spoken of in Zechariah, when it speaks of going to celebrate the feast in Jerusalem, is something that we will do in the millennial reign and beyond into eternity, celebrating what Jesus has done, which, you know, the seven feasts, we're not going to open that box now, but, you know, that's the whole key. The first coming was about the first four feasts, the second coming about the last three yet to be fulfilled. So it's exciting times. Even Pastor, as you were describing, I was going, yeah. And that was a
it
really
is exciting.
Good description.
We love it, man. I mean, I just, it fires us up. We're ready to go. And that's why we've got to say, reach out to your family and friends, reach out even to your enemies. Tell them about Jesus. Invite them to church. Let them hear the word of God. Let the Lord save them. And there's one last person that's going to be saved. Then the rapture hits. Mm. we got to get them going, right? So let's get that last one saved. And we can go up in the rapture of the church. And then will come the great tribulation period, Revelation chapter 6 through 19. Read about it if you want. And find out all the catastrophic events that will be taking place, the great deceptions
of the Lawless One, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And you don't want to be on planet Earth during that time, folks. Mm-mm. This COVID is nothing compared to what's going to happen in the Great Tribulation period. 2/3 of humanity is going to die. You don't want to be here on planet Earth after the rapture of the church. You want to go up in the rapture, right, David?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All righty. Hopefully that helps you out, my friend. Are you good to go?
I have one hope, and that hope is that I'll see you guys there. I'll be the guy with a little dog at his side.
Okay, it sounds good to me.
Hey, I'll be the guy screaming, I made it. I made it. Hallelujah.
We're going to be worshiping the Lord. It's going to be so much fun. I love it. Hey, we'll send you out a Time to Grow by Pastor Mike, as well as Evolution versus God. And got a wonder, stay on the line, and there'll be someone there to help you out. Let's go to Robin in Twin Falls, Idaho. Robin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
Doing great. Thank you.
Can how can
we
help me? You out?
We can hear you loud and clear.
Yes,
can you hear us?
Okay. Sorry. So my question is, so all these things that are happening that Biden is doing, okay, all these bad things that are happening, and all these people around him that can do something about him, like impeach him or commit him or whatever they, you know, they can do, they all talk about it, but nobody does anything about it. So why is it that these people around him, I mean, these, you know, are people like the, you know, the other Republicans and the courts and this and that, why are they allowing this to continue?
David, do you like to?
Yeah, you know, it is, Robin, it is confusing. A few years ago, and what you have to realize, it's not really a red-blue issue as much as it's a God versus Satan issue. And some people are influenced by God, and whoever is not is influenced by the world and by the enemy and the prince of the world. And so, you know, this administration is actually, you know, just being pulled along, if you will, in prophecy. Now, some of what they're doing doesn't make sense unless you realize they are actually trying to destroy the country. And when you take that stance, they're trying to destroy the country, things they're doing make a lot of sense. And this grab for power that, you know, George Orwell in this book Animal Farm predicted long ago, if one side had all the power, it was going to get wacky. And here we are. And in all fairness, you know, I mean, if the Republicans had all the power, they're not the Christian denomination. That's a political power like Pilate was in the days of Jesus. So, you know, we shouldn't trust or lean on either party as believers, even though, you know, we find ourselves doctrinally, you know, being conservative and more along the lines of the Republicans. But, you know, the Republicans are not going to save America. Jesus is going to save Americans.
Yeah. And, you know, as we look to Robin, as we look to what's happening today in our country with the election of President Biden, and of course, the Democrats take over the House and the Senate. It's hopefully it's going to be a revelation of what a poor job they do in everything they touch. They destroy everything to divide the country. They, you know, they promote things that are completely against God, all kinds of immoralities, including abortion and so forth. And hopefully this country of ours will wake up to the truth and we'll get rid of this wokeness. You know, I'd rather be stoked in Jesus than be woke in this world. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's important for us to realize, and you know, he's our elected president. The Bible says we're to pray for all that are in authority. So we do need to pray for him. Amen.
Absolutely.
As much as we disagree with so many of the things that he's doing, we get so angry over it. I'm with you 100% there. But at the same time, we just can't sit idle and expect, why don't they do this? Well, it's not always as simple as the rhetoric that is spoken. It's a major, major process that has to go through. And sometimes there's strategies, if you want to call it the Republican strategies of this church, allow this man to make things look and be as bad as they possibly can be so we can take over the House of Representatives there in the 2022 elections and hopefully the Senate. And then we can move on to the presidency and get full control and make things happen.
But there's a lot of behind the scenes ugliness and corruption and evilness and wickedness that happens in government, unfortunately. And there's a lot of good people in there too. So I don't want to be too broad, but at the same time, we have to get our people elected. So as we approach this 2022 election, if you want to see your cities change, your mayors change, your judges change, you want to see your representatives, your state and local representatives change, you gotta, people, Christians gotta run for office. It'd be good Christians to get involved in law enforcement, Christians get involved in judgeships and so forth. And, we just can't sit back and say, oh, well, no, we gotta ask, we gotta seek, we gotta knock. That is an active prayer life. Okay. It is not only asking God, but it is seeking a vision by God. And then it is being actively involved. Knock, get that door open and let's go. And so we need Christians to run for office, and don't be afraid. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. Mm. And let's see, we'll get, you know, I always look at the scripture says, you reap what you sow. Be not deceived. You reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. Mm. If you sow the spirit, you reap everlasting life. Mm. Righteousness exalts a nation, but a sin is an approach to any country, any people. So this is where we as believers and those who have the conservative viewpoint, those who believe in the Constitution, we all have to get involved and do all that we can to take this country back to where it needs to be. David, anything else?
Yeah, you know, it just reminded it in the First Amendment, you know, we're guaranteed the ability to worship, that the government can't impede with freedom to worship, freedom of press, freedom to assemble. We're also supposed to be able to view what they're doing. There's a big fence up there now. And then the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, is really there in case the First Amendment is not working out and they're not listening to the people. Then the people have the right to get their attention. And they wrote it in that order for very deliberate purposes. And then number one is the freedom to worship. If that is impeded, that is a big deal. And of course, it was impeded. And so, you know, we're coming to those days. Some would say we've already passed those days. Where we step over the line into civil disobedience, and that, you know, in following an evil government or following Jesus, it comes down to it. And we need to make sure we're ready to make that decision and that we're with Jesus all the way.
Let's try to do our best to keep the peace, but if the peace can't be kept, Amen. Then that's a whole nother story.
Yep.
Robin, does that help you out with those, with your question there? Comments?
It does. It does. And you know, it's not Democrat or Republican. It's a moral issue. Right. You know, it doesn't matter which one they are. You were saying about, you know, well, can't side for either one. Well, no. But it's just a moral issue of the things that he's doing. I mean, all the people that got killed over there from that bomb.
That's horrible. And
I know. It's awful. And just it's just a moral thing. It just breaks your heart.
We had a young man from our fellowship that was over there. I talked to a guy, and after talking to him, well, I said, you know, how can I pray for him? And he said, well, my son was called up. My youngest son was called up Wednesday and left for Kabul Thursday. And this was Saturday as the news was breaking. Mm. And we waited, and it ended up that they did get him out. He's in Qatar now. But
decision – David, like and Robin, and all the listeners out there, the decisions by President Joe Biden with this Afghanistan debacle is absolutely horrific, as well as just flat out stupid. The man and his team, they don't know what they're doing. All they think about is how can we get elected next? What optics can we have? How do we try to look good? And all these things, instead of really thinking about what's best for America, for Americans, for the good people in Afghanistan, and really a fifth grader could have figured this out. But this is what we have in office right now, and unfortunately he was elected. We've got to deal with it once again, as we've dealt with other elected officials in the past that we've just been totally adverse to, and we got to fight the good fight of faith, amen? And that's what it's all about. That's what the Founding Fathers gave us. They fought the good fight of faith. Amen. We have to do the same. We got to get fired up and vote righteously and do the right things and fight against evil, because that's what we're called to do. We're to be salt and light as believers in Jesus Christ. So, Robin, God bless you. Thank you for the call. Stay on the line. We'll send you a Time to Grow, Evolution versus God, and God of Wonders.
And let's go to Hal in North San Juan, California. Hal, how you doing?
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Good to have you on.
Still there?
We're here. You there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, hey, I'm wondering, where are the Old Testament saints now, and when will they receive the resurrected bodies? I've read a couple different opinions on that and was wondering what you guys had to say.
David?
Well, instead of my opinion or his opinion, it's always good to go to the Word of God. And in this case, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it actually tells us in verse 15, it says, 14 even, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." And those are encouraging words.
Absolutely. As David's just sharing right now, is there's going to be a time where we're all going to get these glorified bodies at the rapture of the church. And as 1 Corinthians 15 says, we're going to be transformed in a twinkling of an eye. I like that. Paul didn't say a wink of an eye, but a twinkling of an eye, which is even faster, right? In an atomo of time. It says in a moment, means atomo, means an atom of time. So we will get that glorified bodies. And so we say to ourselves, okay, what about those who are in Abraham's bosom? You know, at the death of Christ, as he descended down to the heart of the earth, down into Abraham's bosom, he preached to the captives and so forth. Well, Ephesians 4 says that he took captivity captive unto himself. That some believe, okay, I'm just saying, I tend to believe this, is that he took Abraham's bosom when he ascended, after coming back to earth, he resurrected 40 days on earth, then he ascends to heaven. Many believe he at that time he took captive Abraham's bosom, those Old Testament saints, and brought them all the way to heaven as they were believers in the Messiah to come, as we are believers in the Messiah that came to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Now, some think that the Old Testament saints will be left in Abraham's bosom until the final resurrection, and the Lord will pull them out as we head into the millennial kingdom and so forth. I tend to believe differently. I tend to believe with others that Jesus took them captive unto himself. It says in Colossians, he led a triumphal entry into heaven. And that word triumphal means it was like a victorious parade. A parade with whom? Just himself? Or could it have been these Old Testament saints? And it is also interesting in Matthew, which is a fascinating passage, it says that the graves were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now, the question is, did those Old Testament saints die again? Or when Jesus ascended to heaven, did he also take them along with Abraham's bosom captive unto himself and then took them up in that triumphal parade? That's what I tend to believe. We'll find out when we get there fully and completely. But we all know all believers, past and present, will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Appointed once to die, says the word. So
that's right.
That's solid what you said.
Yeah, that's solid right there. So one would think that he took them right up into heaven, that triumphal parade. Does that help you out, my friend?
Yeah, you covered some of the things that I've read. And
Okay.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Hey, stay on the line. We'll give you that book by Pastor Mike, Time to Grow, Evolution versus God, and God of Wonders video. I think we have just a little bit of time left. Let's go to Lynn in Lynn. I don't know where she was at, but anyway, Lynn, are you on?
Yes, I am.
So how can we help you?
I had just a comment on Teresa. She might try her senior citizen center locally where she lives, and then also where we live in Oklahoma. But a lot of states and cities, they have like legal aid service. and they might be able to connect her to like a low housing, or get her in touch with like a low housing income place. And anyway, I hope that helps.
That's great advice. Great advice. Senior citizen, folks that can help out, organization, as well as the Legal Aid Foundation. And that'll be a great blessing for her. Mm-hmm. Looks like, hey, David, man, this has been a fast hour.
Yeah, sure has. Got into some exciting word, didn't we?
I think we did. Hey, God bless you all. Thank you for listening to Every Man an Answer on the Christian Satellite Network. It's been a joy being with you, David. God bless you. Let's have a great day in the Lord and go for God.
Amen.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.